Welcome back to another episode of The Stacks. I am your host, Tracy Thomas, and The Stacks is a podcast where we talk about all your favorite bookish things. This week, our guest is Ashley North. Ashley is a celebrity stylist, a TV personality, and now she is also the CEO of her own lifestyle brand called AN Style. We're going to talk all things books. We're going to talk a lot about reading to your children, why maybe reading has stopped being a priority in Ashley's life, and also curriculum in high school reading. There's a lot more that we discuss, like Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish and all sorts of stuff, which you'll see. But before we get there, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Our first sponsor this week is Hydrate Spark. Hydrate Spark is a smart water bottle that tells you when to drink water by lighting up. It's very cool. It is personalized to your own height, weight, fitness, and or weight loss goals. And it's kind of cool looking. And I have one and I really, really like it. I've been drinking so much more water than normal, and my skin and my hair are feeling really grateful about Hydrate Spark. So to get 10% off your purchase, go to hydratespark.com and then you just use the code Tracy10. And just so you know, Hydrate and Tracy are both spelled with an I. So that's Hydratespark. That's the website. And then the code is TRACI, the number 10. You get 10% off, and that code is only good through July 31st, 2018. So go ahead and get your bottle ASAP. Our other sponsor is Audible. Audible is an online database for audiobooks. Listeners of this show get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook download. After that, you get a credit towards a listen of an audiobook. And if you don't like the book, you can always return it, which is something awesome that Audible does that a lot of other people and places don't do, including, you know, a book brick and mortar bookstore. You can't just return a book, I guess. I mean, if you read it, you can't. But anyways, you know what I'm saying? They give you opportunity to find an audiobook that you really like, and they have over 180,000 titles, so you'll find something that you like, I'm pretty sure. Here's the other awesome thing we're doing. My husband, for my birthday, got me tote bags and pins that are the Stacks branded. And I'm so excited. They're very cool looking. And I know a lot of you saw them on Instagram this weekend and were interested in getting one. So here's how you can get the Stacks tote bag and or pin. Become a patron. Patreon is a website that allows listeners and consumers of independent content to support the work that's being done. You can support for as little as or as much as you want a month. And in exchange, you get awesome perks. So normally, you get to help us pick future book club picks, send in questions, find out about guests early, and other things. But this time around, if you become a patron before July 31st, so the end of this month, you'll be entered to win a Stacks pin and or a Stacks tote bag. So just go to patreon.com/thestacks and then decide how much you're able to contribute and know that I super duper love you. The last little thing before we get started this week is a reminder to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening to us through Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show. Our most recent review comes from SMG78, and they say, "This show is incredible. The host is articulate and knowledgeable. Can't get enough. It's that easy. It takes like 5 seconds, and it means so much to us and helps to get the show out to more people. So please rate and review the show if you can." All right, that's all for me for now. Let's talk to Ashley, get to know her, and of course, send your comments, questions, and concerns over whenever you have them. All right, enjoy the show. All right, everybody, we are here with Ashley North, who is a celebrity stylist, TV personality, and now she's the CEO of her own lifestyle brand called AN Style. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, you make me sound so fancy.
You are fancy. Listen, full disclosure, I guess we should just say it now. Ashley and I are, we've known each other since, she's known me since I was in my mom's stomach. Yes. So we're basically just gal pals for life. So that's, life. There's going to be giggling is what I'm trying to say. Sorry, mom. My mom
does
gets
your mom
mad at
love
me
it?
When I have people where I giggle a lot.
Oh, yeah. She's going to hate this episode for sure. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Mom. Sorry about it. Okay. So I just introduced you, like, your professional resume, but why don't you kind of give us a little bit about your personal resume of life?
Okay. I am from Seattle, Washington. I am in my mid-30s. I choose not to say the actual number any longer.
Okay.
I am a mother to two beautiful little girls, mm-hmm. and I have a fiance named Deshaun, and we are living happily in Calabasas now.
Oh, gosh.
So
happily
far
ever
from
Calabasas.
So far from everything.
Yeah, it is far.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't from LA, Calabasas is just like this far magical AF. Fairyland that is like an hour from LA. It's
where
far.
The Kardashians rule the world.
Yeah. And Bieber, right? Isn't he there? Or he was?
I have no idea where he lives.
Well, speaking of Bieber, that's a good segue to your life. So, Ashley, you are a celebrity stylist and you dressed Justin Bieber.
I did.
Back in his good old days.
I dressed Justin Bieber back in his heydays, his baby days.
His like hoodie days.
Yeah, his like real little boy.
like the purple hoodie. And
oh, we loved a purple hoodie.
Loved a purple hoodie. Well, I feel like a lot of people associate that with Justin Bieber before he dyed his hair blonde and went absolutely insane.
Yeah. Yeah, like that is quintessential Justin Bieber. I think like his bedazzled jackets mm-hmm. with like Bieber on the back. Mm. That was us.
That was you.
Yes.
And now you dress Kevin Hart.
Yes. Now Kevin Hart is my main client. I work with other men, but he's my steady.
And you've been with him for how long?
I have been with Kevin now for a little over 11 years. So he was my first client on my own, and he is my longest client as
That's
well.
A long time, 11 years.
It is a long time. And someone actually just said this to me the other day, like in terms of the styling world, it's like unheard of because people switch stylists like they switch albums. You know, like they have a new album, you get a new stylist. Like that's what people do. So to work with someone for as long as I've worked with Kevin, it's really sort of unheard of. But it's been really cool because I was sort of there from the beginning with him. And I've been here through the whole ride that is Kevin Hart.
And he really has, like, 11 years ago, he was not – I mean, you had to be, like, into comedy to know Kevin Hart 11 years
ago. Yeah, like, the only
ago.
Reason I recognized him the night that we met and when I, like, gave him my business card and was like, I'm a stylist, I was like, that's the guy from Soul Plane. Like, that's all that he was known for at the time.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So now
– I'd never heard of Kevin Hart before – like, I didn't know who Kevin Hart was before you dressed him.
Oh,
I knew him through you, which I'm probably the only person in the history of the world who knew a celebrity through their stylist.
Yes.
Oh, have you seen
I
any of my work?
That.
No, but I have seen the jean jacket you're wearing tomorrow. Cool. is he funny in life?
Okay. I think that most people would say he's funny in life. Yes.
Okay.
I think that me and Kevin have the type of like brother sister relationship where
he
he's
annoys
like,
you.
I'm like, oh my God, you're so annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
That's sort of our relationship just because it's so long.
Right. But he is like over the top in life too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's pretty much on all the time.
Got it.
That's sort of just him.
Right. Well, some people, like famous people, celebrities, especially comedians, I feel like some of them have like a lot of darkness and like they're like very quiet and they like don't want to be, they're like,
not
don't talk
Kevin.
To me. No, he's like always
he
on.
He is Kevin Hart.
That's
all
funny.
The time.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What's like some of the coolest stuff that you've been able to do through Kevin? Because that's like you have access to things that you might not have access to when you're in the dressing room, like putting clothes on someone's body.
Yeah. I mean, I've been able to meet a lot of different celebrities and it's been like a really cool experience for me. Like even this last weekend, I was in New York dressing Kevin. And then when we were done on set, he was like, oh, we're all going to go to the Chris Brown concert. And I'm like, oh, okay. But like that meant like not only were we going to the Chris Brown concert, but then we were going to Chris's dressing room after to meet him and say, good show.
Right.
So, I mean, those are the
type
of things. Yeah.
And you've dressed him for pretty big stuff. Like,
yeah.
Do you want to plug some of the cool things you've done or do you want me to do it for you?
He's done the Oscars a few times. We've done the Golden Globes where he also got on the best dress list.
Boom.
SNL. Oh, yes. SNL twice. SNL is a really big deal. And I dressed him twice for SNL.
And do you – like Kevin's really out in the world. And I guess this is for just in generally styling. Are you styling – him only for big things, or are you like, hey Kevin, I just shipped you 30 pairs of pants and 50 shirts, like have fun getting dressed?
Yeah. So the thing with Kevin is I'm constantly shopping for him. So basically his whole wardrobe is
stuff
my
that you
creation.
Bought. Okay. But then other people, you might just dress them for yes. an award show or an opening night.
Yeah. Kevin is sort of out of the ordinary in the fact that, number one, he really loves clothes and likes to look good all okay. the time. And number two, he has a lot of money.
Right. So he's so shopping.
He's shopping consistently.
Got
so
it.
So like other clients, yeah, I mainly just dress them for like award shows or, you know, they're hosting something
right.
or stuff
right.
like that.
Okay. And who else? Do you dress?
So right now I work with Terrence J. He's another client that
he's
I'm working
MTV
with. Right?
Guy?
Yeah. Okay. So he does a lot of MTV. He was on E! News for a while.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay.
And he does a lot of hosting. Like he hosted the BET Awards pre-show and cool. the NAACP Awards and stuff like that. So a lot of red carpet for him.
Okay.
And then he does a lot of TV hosting. So,
nice.
Yeah.
And then
it's good.
If you had like a dream client or a few dream clients or who are people that you're like, yeah. I would love to get my hands on your wardrobe.
Okay, first of all, this is someone I would love to get my hands on just because I think that he's dressed very poorly and I would just love to see more from him.
Okay.
That is Drake.
Oh, that's a good one.
Drake is so talented and I love his music and his clothes are awful.
Yeah, they're
all
like
the time.
Mediocre at best.
At best.
It's just kind of like normcore.
Yeah, it's just like I'm the normal guy. Like I just do what I want. But it's like, but you're also Drake. So
you're
like,
Drake.
Can we not?
Right.
Could we just
could we do
more?
We could do better. We could
right.
do better.
Yeah.
Okay, who else?
And in terms of dream client right now, I think like a Chadwick Boseman or something just because he's on top of his game right now. And also the fashion world really likes him.
He dresses well.
Yeah,
he was
does.
Great at the Met Gala.
Yeah.
He was like Cowboy Pope, right? Wasn't that him?
Yeah.
That was
so
good.
Yeah, they do a good job with him. I would just like to do it.
You just would also like
I
to
would
be
just
there.
Also
but
like
he has
to
a
do
stylist.
It. He does. And her yeah. name is actually Ashley as well. And we met at the
right.
Hollywood Reporter dinner. But that was
oh,
nice.
Right. Because can you plug how great you are?
Oh, by the way, I was mentioned in the Hollywood Reporter. They do a yearly, like, the top stylists in the industry, and I was on their list this year. So that was exciting.
That
and
was
I got
so
to go
exciting.
To this really cool dinner, and, like, everyone was there with their stylist.
Oh,
and
fun.
And, of course, Kevin embarrassed me, but that's fine.
Because Kevin embarrasses
Kevin.
You. He likes to
he
embarrass
likes
you.
He likes to embarrass me.
That means he loves you, right?
Yeah.
That's what my mom used to tell me about my brother when he was mean to me, because he loves
exactly.
you.
Exactly. He's like the little brother.
Yeah.
Or older brother that
but
I
smaller.
Never had, but smaller.
He's smaller.
Much smaller.
Okay. Do you feel pressure to dress yourself?
No.
None.
I don't.
Because you just love clothes.
I just love clothes. So when it comes to me, sometimes I feel pressure because I am so immersed in men's fashion that sometimes when it comes to dressing myself, I'm like, oh, what do I do? Because I don't really have any women clients.
Right.
So sometimes there's pressure in that regard. But for the most part, I just wear what feels good.
Good.
Like it's just, I guess that's my gift is right. that I can just do it. So there's not a lot of pressure.
Wow. Because I always feel pressure whenever I go anywhere with you in public. I'm like, I don't want to go because
I've asked you to go to so many things and you say no because you don't have anything to wear.
We're
going to
talk about this next week when we talk about Year of Yes. But that is very
yes.
true that
oh,
I've said no to a lot
yes.
of things. Because
so many things.
And it's literally because I'm too scared
you
to get dressed.
The,
it has nothing to
not
do with the event.
It's social anxiety.
Nope.
It is clothing anxiety.
It's clothing anxiety next to your clothing. And like I don't dress
like
bad.
You feel fine when you're next to Jake.
Yeah.
You win every time.
Well,
just kidding,
it's
Jake.
Literally next to anybody. I'm not stressed out, but if I'm going somewhere with like you or my friend Becca, who's an actress, I'm
yes.
like, I don't want to go because they have cute clothes and I don't.
But you always look cute.
I just
there's never
feel
been
stressed.
A time where you like showed up and I was like, oh God, I'm so embarrassed to be here with
I'm
her.
I'm a pretty conservative dresser though.
And that's
like
good.
I don't go nuts, but I just feel like
because
Hollywood,
you've got to stay true to who you are.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is why I love Ashley because
yes.
she always makes me feel better about dressing like a grumpy person. I want to backtrack a little bit because I do want to know, you have kind of one of those jobs that I think a lot of people would want to have and think that they want to have. How did you become a stylist?
So this is kind of a weird story.
Okay.
I believe I fell into it because mm-hmm. I was in my final quarter at the University of Washington. I was majoring in communications with an emphasis in PR, and I thought I wanted to do PR. So I go to do like my last quarter internship at this PR firm in Seattle, and I'm like, oh, hell to the nah. This is not what I want to do. And now I've just wasted my entire college career thinking this is what I was going to get into. And now I don't want to. So I literally graduated and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I ended up working with this local magazine. There was a photographer on staff at the magazine that I knew. And he was like, I want to start doing like some fashion shoots. Like, do you want to help me? And I'm like, okay. Like, right. Sure, I like clothes. Why not? So I started literally producing these photo shoots with him and getting the clothes and finding the models and dressing the models. And I was like,
I love this.
I love this. So I immediately enrolled in the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in Los Angeles, moved to LA because I knew that there wasn't anything that I could do in Seattle.
Right.
I moved to LA and just, I mean, it's a crazy story, but I literally, like, within a month of living here, I met a stylist, immediately started assisting her. She was a huge deal. Like, she dressed like Eddie Murphy, Ludacris, Chingy, like, at the time. Like,
right, sure.
These are all, I mean, these are huge. These are huge names, though.
Sure.
And so I'm just sort of thrown into it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I haven't even lived in L.A. a month, and now I'm on music video sets, and I'm in Eddie Murphy's closet at his house. I'm like, this is crazy. But it all just happened very naturally, and so then it just grew from there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's like really like an L.A. story.
It is.
Okay, so aside from the glamour of being in Eddie Murphy's closet, what's something that you hear people talk about that's like, oh my God, I wish I could do that. That sounds so glamorous that you're like, that is literally like garbage man work. Like, it's terrible. I hate it.
You know what? That's the thing about my career is everyone thinks it's so glamorous. And of course there's glamorous sides to it, but also the way that I run my business, I'm extremely hands-on. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to shopping and then carting all the stuff to the client's closet and like you're sweating and you have 15 bags on each arm,
right,
and your car is packed to the ceiling and you know, like there's all these things that, you know, when you see Rachel Zoe on TV and she whisks into the fitting with like her heels, right, and dress on, that's not my life.
No.
Like, I'm not, I do a lot of the legwork in
it.
So it's not as glamorous.
Have you ever tried to pass off any of the work?
I try.
But it's hard.
It's hard.
You can't relinquish.
Yeah. Mm. I have a control issue when it comes to my clients.
Well, you're a hands-on human in general.
In general.
Like, you're not one.
I don't pass stuff off very easy.
I think it's hard. That's hard for me, too. Like,
yeah,
even stuff that I don't know how to do. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, but I will figure it out better than someone who's an expert.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is basically this entire podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing, but
you do a fantastic job.
We're going along. We're learning as we go. Yes. Well, when this podcast takes off and I become the most influential human in the history of the
book
world,
which I know is going to happen,
will you dress me for my event?
Duh.
Even though I'm not a boy.
Duh.
Okay, great, great.
I can't
then
wait.
Then I can finally go to events with you because
I can't
looks.
Wait to dress you. You're going to have a photo shoot and everything. It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to look like a librarian.
No.
Well, yeah, like a cool.
You're
going to
be like Tracy Ellis Ross.
Ooh, I was thinking.
She's very like.
Sure. She's
but
librarian
she's got
chic.
Some sass.
She's librarian yeah. chic. Great. I'm excited.
We
okay.
may show a midriff or two. Just
all
be
right.
prepared.
Gotta get my crunches on. What kind of stuff inspires you? Like, what do you look to for inspiration when you're like dressing, especially dressing someone for so long? Like,
yeah,
how do you
keep
like it
you
fresh?
It's like you constantly have to evolve. The thing about it, when I started doing this, it was all about magazines. So I was every month go to the magazine stand, get like 20 magazines,
oh,
and you're flipping through and you're tearing and, you know, you're doing boards
right.
and all this stuff. But now the way that the internet works and especially social media, it's literally – you can go on Instagram and find anything that you want. Like, there's so many pages. You know, each magazine has a social media page where they're posting all of
right.
this stuff. You can go online and see pictures of all of the designers' runways. So I don't necessarily have to go to Milan for Men's Fashion Week. I can stream
right.
it on my computer.
Right. But so then you don't get to go to Milan.
I know. And I'm still – I yell at Kevin every year because, like, I've been telling him for so long, like, we've got to go to Men's Fashion Week. But he's so busy all the
right.
time. That's, like, the least of his
concern. That's like your
concern.
Dream thing that you want Kevin to do.
Yes. Someday we're going to do it.
Well, maybe Terrence J will do it. And yeah. then we could just be like, sorry, Kevin. You missed your chance. Yeah. Bye,
guys. Front row with Terrence.
Yeah. Oh, my Boop. God. Can I be your assistant for that?
Yeah.
I just want to eat pasta.
I just want to sit there with my glasses on.
Okay. I interrupted you, though. I want to know what else inspires you. So magazines, using the internet. Are there any like books that you use? Or like-
Also, I'm a huge fan of coffee table books, specifically fashion ones. It's sort of something that I collect and I love them.
Yeah.
They're like my babies. You can spend so much money on them because they're so expensive. But it's like my...
And they're big.
They're huge and they're heavy and they're so chic.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're in some. Your work is in some.
My work is in some books, yes.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. Justin came out with a book. It was just basically a book about Justin.
Right.
But, like, obviously a lot of my work was featured in that. And then Kevin also has his own book. He came out with his book. And so a lot of my work is in that book as well.
His, like, story? His book about his life? Or,
his
like, he
book
has a
about
picture
his
book?
Life.
Oh, I see. And there's,
so
like,
Kevin,
a picture section.
Yeah, I guess it's called an autobiography.
Got it. Yeah, that's right. You did it.
Did
there
I
you go.
Say it right?
You said it right. And
I'm really not stupid.
Well, you know what we should do right now? This is a little bit out of order, but I do want to give a little bit of a plug to Audible, who's one of our sponsors. The reason I'm doing it a little bit earlier than normal is because Kevin narrates his own book. And I feel like what I've discovered from reading kind of celebrity autobiography type books or celebrity memoirs is that they don't always read well, but when the person reads them, it makes so much sense. Like, I read Tiffany Haddish's book, and she talks about Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
But I listened to it, and
I bet
she's
that was
so
great. And I bet there's celebrities that are probably even better at it than others.
And
like,
I feel like
Tiffany
Kevin.
And Kevin. Yeah. Kevin's is amazing.
Because sometimes the story is just, like, medium, but the performance of it, like hearing someone say, like, I went to the store versus Kevin Hart being like, I went to the store, blah, 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 you
right.
know, like how
it means so much more, especially someone like Kevin.
Like
for
Kevin.
Sure.
So he narrates that book and it's on Audible. And anybody who listens to this show, I don't know if you know this, but anybody who listens to this show, they get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download just by going to audibletrial.com/thestacks. It's super easy. But that's actually a book that I'm considering getting on my next month, because Audible, you get a month. Each month you pay for, once you do your first month free, you get one book credit, and then you can buy other books. But if you don't like a book, you can return it with free of charge, and it's all this great stuff. But I feel like that's something that I'm going to use maybe my next credit on.
I think you definitely should.
Because I don't really want to read it, but I want to hear it.
I want to hear
if he talks about you.
I know.
Because he does an Ashley impression.
Like, I just have to be honest. I didn't read Kevin's book.
It's okay.
I'm not quite sure if I made the cut. I mean, if I didn't make the cut, I'll be disappointed.
Sure.
And there may be a conversation that
I'll
would
listen
need
to it
had.
And then I'll tell you.
Okay, thank
and
you.
And I'll be like, just don't tell Kevin it was me.
Okay.
We're not
thanks.
There yet.
Okay.
But yeah, so go to audibletrial.com/thestacks, get your free 30-day trial, get Kevin Hart's book.
Do it.
I mean, if you don't want Kevin Hart's book, you don't have to do that either.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yes. Oh, my God. Tiffany does such a good job. Get
her
book.
She's great.
And she talks about Kevin, and she says he's a really nice guy, and she, like, basically credits him as being her, like, fairy godfather, essentially.
Yeah. When I was just in New York last weekend, we were there with Tiffany because they have a movie coming out in
September. Was she cool?
She's super cool, and she's hilarious.
And she's like me, itty-bitty titty committee. She's flat-chested.
I didn't actually notice that about her breast.
She talks about it, and in Girls Trip.
Oh,
like
okay.
You
can tell.
Yeah, she's like she gets to wear like
yeah,
the tops.
She's
like,
so
I don't
cute.
Need a bra.
Yeah,
she's
I guess
so
now
cute.
That you're saying that, her tops that she had on. Yeah, I can see that now.
We'll get her book or get Kevin's book. Yeah. We're plugging black comedians this week on the show.
Black comedians.
So get in there.
Let's do it.
Okay, I want to shift a little bit because you're a stylist and that's great, but also you're a really amazing thing. You're a mom.
I am a mom
to two little girls. Who I love dearly, one of which is technically my goddaughter, but she hates me. And the other one is my superhero of life, Charlie Goldson.
She loves you.
She's my one. And the other one who I'm supposed to, like, monitor her well-being is like, please don't look at me, Tracy. Like, get out of my face.
But, you know, in all fairness, she's like that with most people.
Including
so it's
you
not,
sometimes.
Yeah. Like, she's super shady to me all the time.
She'll
the only person who doesn't get that is her father.
Her father.
Because they look alike.
They're twins. They're the same. You are just like Charlie, the older daughter. And Deshaun is just like the little daughter.
For
shady
sure.
as can be.
Shady,
yeah.
shady,
yeah.
shady.
But when they shine their light on
you,
it's
the
best
light.
Yeah.
Because when you get that light, it's like, Wow. Wow. It really means something.
Yeah. Like one time Deshaun threw something at me and it hit me in the eye, which was the darkness of Deshaun. But then when it hit me in the eye, he was so worried that something was wrong with me. And then he was so nice. And so I was kind of milking it. I was like, oh, I can't see
my eye.
My eye. I still bring it up. And he's like, you know, that was on accident. I'm like, this is the only time you've ever been nice to me. But so, okay. So you have these two daughters.
Yes.
They're lovely humans.
They are.
Chase, the little one, just turned 2, and Charlie is 7.5.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Talk about it. What's it like being a mom?
It is the greatest thing that I've ever done. So I can talk about Kevin and meeting Chris Brown and being in his dressing room, but then really like coming home to them is like the greatest thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. I love them. And I always thought I wanted boys. And then God gave me 2 girls. And I honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, it's so much fun to be a mother to a daughter because, I don't know, I guess it just gives you a whole set of responsibility. And I like know how I looked at my mom and like she worked hard and she provided for us. And like, I want to be that same mother to my girls. Right. So it pushes me.
And you're super close with your mom.
I am. My mom is like my best friend, and she's also my most annoying friend.
She's also been your best friend since you were like little, though. Like,
yeah.
When I was like 12, I was like, Mom, no. You were like, oh, Pam and I are going shopping.
Yeah, me and my mom were always close. I think it could have to do with that I was an only child, too. Right. So it was just me and her and my dad, and my dad was a dad.
Right.
So of course me and my mom were going to party.
That's true.
Yeah.
So this year for your daughter's birthday last week, Chase, the little one, I got her a backpack because she's into that. But I also got her 2 books. And what I discovered, first of all, everyone else got her all these like giant toys. Yeah. And then she went to open my present and I was like sweating because I was like, she's going to hate this. She already hates me. And now she's going to get a backpack and 2 books. And she's like, I don't read. Like, bye. So I'm like literally sitting there like, I don't want her to open this. This is going to be so embarrassing. And then she opened it. She was so excited to get the books.
She loved the books.
She loves books.
She does. I'm like, so they make her really excited. She'd be like, book.
Yeah. And then she was like carrying it around with her before bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to cry.
That's what she does. Some nights she'll like, I'll put her to bed, and then in the morning when I go and get her, she'll have a book in the bed with her. Like, she obviously can't read, and it was dark, but something about the book gave her – yeah.
And, like, I mean, we'll get into this more, but you're a self-proclaimed not really a reader.
I hate to read.
But not really.
I don't hate to read, and honestly, as I was going through the questionnaire that you gave me – I realized that there was a point in my life where I actually loved to read.
Reading.
And I was super into books. And I had like my authors that I read all their books. And like, I don't know. I guess it was just I went into a new phase of life where there's other things that take up my time.
Right.
And then when I want to relax, reading is no longer relaxing for me.
But you do read things. Like you read magazines.
I read magazines. I love reading magazines. And what I realize is that I do actually read every day because I do have a devotional book that I read. Okay. And I didn't even think about that. But I do actually read every day. It's just a short.
You just are insecure about your reading because it's not the kind of reading that people associate. Like you're not a book reader.
I'm not a book reader. And I'm not like a smart book reader. And I never have been. Like, when we get into it, you're going to be like, oh, Ashley likes cheesy books.
That's okay. Yes.
But so that was like, yeah. Well, but now I can just watch reality TV and it's just so much more relaxing.
I was listening to somebody talk. I can't remember where it was. It was maybe a podcast or something. And they were saying how documentaries are books for millennial or like our generation because people aren't reading so much. So a lot of with Netflix and all these online sources of entertainment, people are now reading instead of reading, they're watching these documentaries or multi-part series to learn the same information, which I thought was interesting. And I wish I could remember who was saying it. When I find it, I will put it in the show notes. I think it was maybe Keep It or a podcast like that, but they were, maybe it was Keep It. Anyways, they were talking about that. I thought it was interesting. I like to read because I like to not have screen time. But if it's something – if it's still educational and for some people that's easier like to see it as opposed to read it.
Yeah.
But Chase likes books.
Chase likes books and Charlie likes books. I think even though I'm not an avid reader, it's something that I know is important.
Right.
And so I'm definitely – that's – I'm instilling that in my daughters because – just because I'm not a reader, I'm not going to make them not readers as well, because I know that they need to be readers.
Right.
So it's something that I started early with them. Right. So they always have had books, and we read, like when they're babies, even when they don't fully understand, I'll read them a book before bed. And that's like the bedtime routine. And now Charlie's learning to read. Mm. And so, you know, she has to read every day.
Right. Well, Charlie spent the night over here at our house, and we were getting ready for bed, and I was like, oh, I'm going to read to you from Charlotte's Web, because that's one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Auntie, you read all the time. I was like, yeah. She's like, why do you like to read so much? And I was like, I don't know. I just love it. And she's like, I want to love to read too. And I was like, I'm crying. I got to go. She was like, bye, Charlie. Sorry, something's in my eye.
Yeah.
But it made me so happy. No,
yeah. I mean, because that's your guys' relationship too. So
yeah. And I just think I like to see that they're into books, because I feel like we're told so much that nobody reads anymore. Nobody cares about reading, but
it's important.
Yeah, it's important.
I mean, and I see with you, you have such a diversified range of knowledge from the books that you read. And it's absolutely amazing, because you'll be talking about something and I'll be like, that's so smart. That's so interesting. But I know nothing about it, because my level of knowledge or what I'm learning about is streamlined at this point in my life.
That is true. I do feel like what reading has helped me as far as diversifying my knowledge or whatever is that you can pick up a book, and for those 200 or 300 pages, you're immersed in someone else's mm-hmm. way of thinking.
Yeah.
So even if I pick up a book on a topic that I'm already interested in, I'm going to see it in a different way, even if I don't agree.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to pick up something that I didn't know I was interested in. I got this book about Attica. It's called Blood in the Water, mm-hmm. The Prison Uprising. And I got it because it won the Pulitzer. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this that much. And then I read it and I was like, this is amazing. And I didn't know anything about this. And now I'm obsessed with this story. So I think that's what's cool for me about reading, is that not only do I learn new things, but I also can be steered towards new interests. Whereas if it was a TV show, I'd be like, I don't want to watch anything about Attica. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Right.
And I'd change to something else. Whereas mm-hmm. Once you pick up the book, you're kind of there.
I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Even though I can't do it myself.
Well, you can. And you do.
And maybe I will.
Maybe you will. Maybe this podcast will remind you about how much you love reading, and then you'll be like, I'm going to read.
I really didn't. I mean, I enjoyed reading the book.
Oh, yeah. So we read Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. We'll talk about it next week. But we're going to talk about it a bunch next week. I'm very excited. I mean, that's all we're talking about. That's the whole focus of next week. So anyways, okay, the last thing before we dive into books that I really want to touch on is you have a brand new lifestyle brand that you're in charge of, AN Style, and you started with a candle launch.
Yes.
What is that?
You know what? I feel like my whole career has been – I don't want to say I fell into it, but stuff sort of
happens
and it comes to me, and then it's like a overwhelming feeling inside of me that I'm like, this is what I meant to do. So with the candle line, you know, obviously I'm a stylist and I've been doing this for a long time, but it's not all that I see myself doing. I wanted to grow my brand.
Right.
But I also wanted it to be something very organic. So lifestyle or home interiors has always been something that I've loved. And how I fell into the candles was that I was going into this candle manufacturer in Santa Monica. And I'm like, I want to make a candle to send out to my clients and my stores that I shop in a lot for Christmas. So I go in there and I'm sitting down, and there's all these perfume, all the oils and stuff. Mm. And she's showing me, and this is what we do. And they walk me through the thing where they hand pour everything. And I'm like, this is so cool. And so I'm sitting there with Anthony, who she's sort of my publicist brand manager, and we're doing it together because she's making a candle too. And all of a sudden we look at each other, and it was simultaneous. Mm. She was like, you've got to do this. And I was like, I've got to do this. I love this. That's so cool. Fun. So however much I fell into it, it has 100% become a passion for me. And creating, I came out with my signature collection, which is 3 fragrances. And it was so much fun. And it took a lot longer than anticipated because I wanted everything to be so perfect that I was going back and figuring it out. Because I really want it to be a luxury line of candles. So I'm trying to compete with the Jo Malones and the Diptyques. So
I want to be up there. And they smell really good.
Thanks.
I will definitely, we'll take some pictures of them and post it. And where can people get your candle?
So you can get my candle right now at shopanstyle.com. And they're online right now. I'm going to be in some boutiques come fall.
Great.
But initially the launch is online.
Okay. And that will be in the show notes, you guys. I'll, of course, at the bottom. I'll
buy my candles.
Yeah. It'll say Ashley's website or whatever. It'll link and you can go buy the candles. Yes. And look, I don't, as I told you guys, I don't really compliment things that I don't think are good. What's the black candle that I love? Which one is that?
The black candle is called Noir Santal.
Okay. And that's she loves the one. It. It's like, it's really, it's delicious. I don't, what's in it? I can't even, I don't know how to say these things.
It's like sandalwood and black currant. So it's sort of like a dark fragrance.
Wait,
it's
is that
like,
the original one?
That's my original. Okay.
Yeah. That's the one I love.
Yeah.
There's another, the eucalyptus mint one. I just got that today. It smells really good. But the black, the noir.
Santal.
Santal is my jam. If you want to, if you want your house to smell like my house.
And that's mine.
The one. And Ashley's. Okay.
So and Kevin's. Kevin has the candles.
Really? Kevin.
Kevin loves the candles.
Honestly, the thing that's nice about them is that they're good for men and women because my husband loves them too.
Yeah. So especially the Noir Santal, I think that was my original fragrance and I was really keeping a man in mind.
Yeah.
But it's something that women can love too. It's just, it's sort of a masculine scent. Yeah. So men, you should love it as well.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah. Okay. Before we move on, really quick, our other sponsor this week is Hydrate Spark. Hydrate Spark is a water bottle, a smart water bottle, and it tells you when to drink water.
And I won it.
It's really cool. Isn't it cool? Maybe it'll light up while we're doing this. It lights up when you need to drink water, and it has an app that goes with it, and it tracks when you drink. So you drink, and then you put your bottle down, and on the little app, it's like, 3 more ounces and it goes around. And then when you get it finished, the green circle lights up and you feel like so accomplished. And then you pee for the rest of your life. And if you have friends who have the water bottle, you can track their progress and like compete with each other. So
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah. Okay. I have a friend who has one and he and I are competing, but he's drinking like 100 more ounces a day than I am. And I'm drinking 100 ounces a day.
Wait, you're drinking 100?
Well, I teach fitness classes, I exercise a lot.
And that it keeps in mind
your lifestyle. It keeps in mind your height, your weight, how much you exercise, and also what your goals are. So if you're drinking water to lose weight or if you're drinking water to stop having headaches or whatever, they ask you a bunch of things in the beginning. So it keeps track of all that. And it's really cool. And the website is called Hydrate Spark, but it's spelled HIDRATE Spark, SPARK. So it's Hydrate with an I. And then my code is Tracy10, and that's Tracy with an I. So that's easy to remember. Also in the show notes. So you get 10% off your purchase.
I'm buying one.
Yeah. And the code is only good to July 31st. So buy it soon. All right. Now we get on to my favorite part, talking books, baby.
My least favorite part.
Ashley's been very nervous about this, but I'm actually excited to hear what she has to say.
I don't
want to
be exposed as being stupid.
You're not stupid.
My voice already makes me sound stupid, and so now if I don't have the right answers,
there's no right answers. Every week all we talk about is a judgment-free reading zone, so I feel like anything that you've read has added value to your life, even if you thought it was trash. And I read a lot of things that I was like, this was bad. And I feel like you learn and whatever. So just, I'm releasing you from your own personal judgment. I think you're perfect. And I think your choices are going to be amazing.
Aww, thanks.
Tell me about 2 books you love and 1 book you hate.
Okay. So this was really fun for me. Like I said before, because it literally helped me delve into my past because I literally haven't read a book. Well, since one of the books that I love is called On Becoming Baby Wise. Oh. And this was a book that I read when I was pregnant with my first daughter, Charlie, when I was extremely terrified of having a child. And it put me at so much ease and gave me so much peace. And so it's literally one of my favorite books.
Because it helped you sleep train.
It helped me sleep train. And it's the greatest thing ever. And every parent should do it. And when parents say that their kids are 2 and don't sleep through the night, I just laugh at them because my children slept through the night at 2 months.
Well, and Charlie would, she was like 2, she'd be like, Mommy, I need a nap now.
Yeah.
Like she
would my babies will tell you it's time for them to go to bed.
Yeah.
So that's great. So that's one book I love. And then the other book I love, I remembered, is called The Coldest Winter Ever.
Okay.
It's by Sista Solja.
Oh.
And it's a great book. It's like a reality show come in a book.
Okay,
so great. It's like super juicy and there's like sex and violence and money and shopping.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, and what's a book you hate?
The book I hate, I remember I had to read it in high school, and it was called Animal Farm, and it was my worst nightmare.
People, that's like considered a classic.
Yeah, a classic nightmare.
I've never read it.
Okay.
I hate most classics I read.
It was
so
weird. It was like animals, but it was like about Russia. I don't know. It was like strange.
It was, what do they call that? An allegory or something like
that. Yeah, I hated it.
That's fine. Okay, well, what are you currently reading?
So I'm currently reading The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes.
Mm. Yeah.
Next week.
We dive in. Okay.
I had to have some extra time.
That's okay. That's okay. What are some books that you're maybe looking forward to reading?
Okay. So the one book that I'm looking forward to reading, and my girlfriend sent it to me as a gift, and it's called Getting Shit Done.
Ooh.
And so I'm really excited to read it because it's like about, you know, being a woman and getting shit done.
So here's a question. You're going to have to get shit done, as in actually read the
Reading
book to
it.
Get the answers.
I know. I'm gonna hold you to it. Okay. I'm gonna do it.
Everybody who's listening to this, you should harass Ashley on
social
media.
Harass me, because it'll help.
Yeah, and then when you're done, you should post
harassed.
And let us know that you did it.
Okay, I'm going to.
How do you pick your next book?
It's always like people either buy me books, like mm-hmm. you, or yes. like this time my friend Sienna bought me this book, or like a suggestion, like okay. someone's like.
So you take it mostly from people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm never going on a list and being like, what are the best books in America?
Sure. No, don't say never. You might.
I won't.
You might. okay. Well, what's on your nightstand?
So on my nightstand is, of course, an AN Style candle.
Ooh. Shop anstyle.com.
Thank you. And then also that's where I keep my devotionals. And this is when I realized that I actually do read books.
What's a devotional? Okay, you know, I'm not religious.
I know you're not religious at all. Oh, actually that book is called How to Get Shit Done.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So a devotional is simply a daily, it's like a daily read. Like they're usually just like a few pages and it's just spiritual. So it might lead you into prayer, or like it might lead you into like reading with your Bible, and it's just something that I like to do each morning.
And is it, do you have to get like a new devotional each year?
So there's certain devotionals. The one that I always keep on my nightstand is called Confident Woman, mm-hmm. and by Joyce Meyer, and it's like a 365, but I just like read it over and over.
Okay, got
yeah.
it. That's so interesting. I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about
I
this.
Know.
Okay, what is a book that you like to recommend to people?
On Becoming Baby Wise.
That's
because
true.
If you are becoming a parent and you don't read this book, you're doing the wrong thing. I'm telling you, it's great.
I actually give people the book who are pregnant, because, and I'm like, my friend Ashley told me to, and her babies tell you when they need to take a nap. So what else do you need?
What else do you need?
Yeah. What's the last good book someone recommended to you?
1,000 Lives.
Did I recommend that?
You recommended it.
You guys, that's
and
my
you
book
bought
about
it for
Jones,
me.
And I had it shipped to your home.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was like, you need to read
and
this.
And do you know that I read almost 3 chapters? And that
wow,
is really
that's
great.
That's a lot for you.
It
and
is.
You liked it.
I got into the beginning of it. It was solid.
You came to dinner and you were like, I like this
I
book.
Know, because I had I read the first 3 chapters like, yeah. And now I can't find it.
Cool. You've done it great. Well, anyways, it's by Julia Shears. It's about Jonestown. It's one of my favorite books. It's nonfiction and it's great. What's the best book you've received as a gift?
So I'm going to go back into my devotionals because I know okay. you love that so much. And it was actually a book called Stuck.
Okay.
And it is a devotional and it's super quick read and okay. it was great.
Great. I love mm-hmm. that. How do you read? Hard books or hard copy? Whoa. Struggle bus.
Struggle.
Hard copy, ebook, audiobook.
I've never done an audiobook, but now that you said that about Kevin's, like maybe that's something I could do
because
I didn't
trial.
Read his book.
Okay.
But normally it's just hard copy.
Yeah. And then where do you read, or like what's your reading?
I typically like to read in bed.
In the morning or
in
night?
The morning?
In the morning. Okay.
Yeah. Or on planes. That's like, that's how I really got into this book.
Right.
And like on vacation, because that's like the only time where I don't have 5 million things I'm doing
right.
during the day.
Yeah. Well, I feel like. I mean, I try to treat my reading like a job, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like I carve out time in my day. So
yeah.
like, I'm a to-do list person. So on my to-do list every day, it's like read. And I'll sometimes, if I'm having a hard time focusing, I'll put my phone on airplane mode and I'll set a timer for an hour. and just sit down and read.
That's very inspiring.
Well, you know, if it helps you, I don't know. Maybe. If you want to make time for reading, you just have to make the time.
I know.
But just like how people feel about going to the gym, it's like you schedule it in your phone, like an appointment. You know, if it's not a priority to you, but you want it to be, you have to make space.
What's also funny though, is that I think it also has to do with like your group of friends, because you're my only friend that reads. And for instance, I was on the plane with Kevin and like our team, and I pulled out the book because I was trying to finish it.
Right.
And they all look at me like, oh, you read. Like, I'm trying to be fancy because I guess I'm surrounded by idiots. Yeah, I
read. And you should be like, Kevin, you should be happy that I read since you wrote a book. Okay.
It was funny.
Are there any books that you feel proud about having read?
Yes. There was one book that I feel proud about having read, and that is Invisible Man. And I read that in college because I took a lot of African-American studies classes, and it was in one of the classes we read that book. And I feel like it's 100% a classic and something everyone needs to read.
I've never read it.
I feel very proud of myself because that's a smart book I read it.
And it is a smart book, and you read it, and it is a classic for sure.
Don't ask me what it's about.
I won't.
But I know I read it.
Okay. Well, great. That check. A book you're embarrassed about having read?
So when I was young,
I'm nervous.
I used to read all those little like girly books, like Nancy Drew. But the one is the one about the horses, and I can't remember what it was called right now, but it was like the Horse Club. I got into horses for a short time in my life, and it was really strange.
Okay,
but
we'll
it was
look
like
it up.
Teeny Bop series about horses.
Let me try Googling it. I'm going to ask you the next question and Google it while you go. What's a book that you're embarrassed about not having read?
Every book. Every single book. Like all the books that maybe Barack Obama wrote that I should have read. All the books that you've read. I'm embarrassed because I feel like I should have read lot of books.
I've not read Invisible Man.
I know, but that's like something... I don't know. Yeah, I'm actually shocked. So shame on you.
Saddle Club?
Saddle Club.
The Saddle Club.
That is my most embarrassing.
Another book I've never read or
because
series of books.
I used to like horses. It was strange.
I loved horses.
I know, but it's kind of embarrassing.
I never read it.
I went to horse camp.
So did I. Nice try being the only person who goes to
horse
camp.
Wait, you went to horse camp?
I went to horse camp. I used to volunteer at the stable, and that means like cleaning the horses and picking out their hooves and helping them put the saddles on so I could ride the horses for free.
But I felt like you told me that you don't want to ride a horse.
I want to ride a horse. Jake, my husband, refuses to ride horses. I love horses. I haven't been on a horse in years.
I
loved horses.
Go horseback riding.
I would shovel their
birthday.
Poop. Let's do it.
Okay.
Ashley and I's birthdays are very close. So Ashley's birthday is next week and my birthday is this week. Well, when you're listening, my birthday just happened and Ashley's birthday's in a few days. Anyways, you don't care. Who cares?
Blah, blah.
I'm excited. I love a birthday. Yeah. Okay. What's a favorite book from your childhood?
All the Sweet Valley High. I used to love those.
Those are so good. Yeah. What about, did you read the Babysitter Club's book too?
Yes, I did. But I thought about that. But Sweet Valley High, I liked more.
You
there
gave
were some
me
mystery
Valley
Sweet Valley Highs that were especially great.
Yeah. You used to give those to me, I feel. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. A favorite book that was assigned to you in school?
Their Eyes Were Watching God.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
I've never read that either. That's
What's
one of the ones
you?
That I'm kind of embarrassed
I took a lot of African American studies in college.
This
so,
is the problem.
Yeah.
Is that I, this is one of the reasons that I wanted to actually start this podcast, aside from just talking about books in a non, you know, judgy way. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of my life was wasted in school reading the stuff that the teachers thought that I should read and not the stuff that was important to me as a human. And then in high school, my African American history teacher in high school made us read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tony Green. And I didn't finish it. I was like, oh, this is fine. And then I read it right after college and I was like, yo, this man, Tony Green, Mr. Green, was assigning real shit in school. And I was like, yo, I need to go back and read. So like I've been trying to go back and read some African American like classic books, but I wish we were assigned Their Eyes Were Watching God.
No, that's what I was saying. Cause like one of the questions we're going to get to is like, what would you,
that's the next one. Talk to me.
Because I feel like there were so many books that I read in college where I wish I could have read them in high school, because the earlier that you learn these things and it's ingrained in you, I think the better. So like, for instance, like reading, you know, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, mm-hmm. or something like that in high school, I think could change your whole
totally.
Life.
Well, and it, because I feel like in school, what happens is the teachers put in front of you whatever they put in front of you, and that automatically gets meaning and value because of all the books in the world. Like, that's the one.
Why did
reading.
I have to read Animal Farm? Like, what was that doing for me when I could have been reading books about race relations in America, but instead we're reading about Russia in the 19.
Well, you were reading about like communism. You were reading about another thing. Anyways, but the point is that like anything that's put in front of you as a kid, you automatically assign value to it. So mm-hmm. your teachers are giving you all these books written by white men, and that's telling you that that's what an author is.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even really understand
that
like anybody could be an author, mm-hmm. and that anybody who wrote a book was an author, and therefore there are books written by people who are valuable. Like, I think we had to read Maya Angelou, maybe, or was one of the teachers assigned it, but also mm-hmm. different teachers assigned different books, so depending on who you got.
You were also in Oakland going to school. I feel like you may have been a little more progressive than it was in Bellevue, Washington.
Well, yeah, I mean, but not that much. I had to take an African-American history class to get Malcolm X. Like, it wasn't like in the
and
regular history.
And I don't think that's
class.
Right. I think that...
That should be in regular history.
It should be 100% regular history, because this is American history.
Right, right.
So to try and identify it as African-American history is not really fair, because...
Right. Exactly.
It's just history.
Actually, so Jake and I went to Barnes & Noble the other day. We were at the Grove, and I'm standing up there upstairs, like, looking at the books, whatever, just, like, looking, you know, not trying to buy anything. And I see these two girls, and they go and they pick up the autobiography of Malcolm X, and they're these two white girls, and one of them picks – or they're white appearing. Maybe they had other things going on. But anyways, they're white looking. And she picks up the book, and she's like, "Ugh, it's so long. I'll never finish this. Ugh." And I was like – and, of course, me being obnoxious and a book lover, I'm like – I know it looks really long. The beginning's a little slow, but I'm telling you, it's a great book. And she's like, "Yeah, it's just really long." And I was like, "I'm sure you got it assigned in school. I'm sure you wouldn't have picked it up. I'm telling you, it's a really good book. You probably are going to be like miserable in the beginning, but it's worth the read. And you might not appreciate it now. And then you're going to read it in your 20s and you're going to be like, yo, I can't believe my teacher was assigning this." And she was like, "Okay, thanks." And it made me feel better.
Yeah.
Because I was sad that she wasn't excited to read it because it's a big book.
But then maybe you changed her.
I don't know. I doubt it. Her and her friend like walked away, and then I heard them like giggling.
Stupid.
They were like, "Who's that? Old lady, like,
leave us alone."
That old lady in the bookstore talking to me.
No, but this happened even in my daughter's school. I just feel like, I mean, she's 7, like, I get it, but I feel like the earlier that you can learn about the things that happen, especially, you know, African American history, I just feel like it's important. And I don't think that it's something that should be shied away from, like, oh, it's shameful. Like, no,
or that it's other.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like, you know, a lot, like, we read Joy Luck Club, mm-hmm. but that's the only Chinese American story.
Also a great.
It's a great book and a great movie.
I love
the movie. Best quality crab. But like something like that is like it's held up as the only one, unless you take an Asian American literature class, right? And it's like, well, why shouldn't I get to hear voices from other people from places, especially in a country that is a quote unquote melting pot, right? It's like, if that's who we want to pretend that we are, which is, I think, up for debate, especially currently. But I think if that's who we think that we are, and we want to be diverse in LA or in Oakland or wherever you are, like, you can't just relegate the classic books or the books written by people of color to a separate category, because it's not – you're not doing what you're saying. And I also think – this is a little bit more nitpicky, but I think that only teaching the classics is also does a disservice to everybody, because I think when you say only Maya Angelou is important, or only Toni Morrison, or only, you know, Amy Tanner, whoever is considered like the important people, you're taking away from people who are up and coming. Like, they had to start somewhere.
Right.
So why aren't kids reading a book that came out this year and being like, this is what current literary fiction is, or this is what current African-American literature is. So I think, I mean, I could go on and on about this.
Right.
I think it's really interesting, and it's one of the things that I was considering becoming a teacher, and that was like why, because I wanted to push books.
Yeah.
Because, you should get to read stuff. You should have to read stuff. Anyways, I'm going to try to gently climb off this soapbox.
Okay. Slowly.
And just move forward and maybe change the topic a little bit. Do you have any favorite authors?
I did remember that I loved Toni Morrison. Mm. I read several of her books, and I really just love the way that she writes.
So I've never Well, I read part of The Bluest Eye in high school, but I just couldn't get into it. I've never really read any Toni Morrison, but I have Beloved on my list.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners, his name is Reggie. He's my homie on Instagram. He really welcomed me into the book community. I love Reggie. He's awesome. But he calls Toni Morrison like his icon. Like that's his number one. And he's always talking about her books.
Yeah.
He's really excited me about it. So hearing you say that.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite of her books that you can remember?
The Bluest Eye. And I did love Beloved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People love that. And then also I've heard good things about Sula.
Sula.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the other one. I read that one also. Yeah.
So I got to do that. I got to do those. Okay. What about a favorite book that's been adapted to a film or TV show?
Okay. So when you just said Joy Luck Club, hello. I totally forgot about that. But so then my other one was 50 Shades of Grey.
Ooh. You saw the movies?
I saw those movies. I've never read the book. Oh. I do have it. Someone gave it to me.
You'll like it. It's really fast. I loved it. I'm embarrassed, but I did like them.
Listen, those movies are great.
I need to see them.
They're so good.
Guess what? We're at your last question.
Yay!
You're like, I can get out of here. Yeah. Okay. This is my favorite one. If you could recommend one book to the current president of the United States, what would it be?
So it was really difficult because there's so many things that he needs to learn. Mm-hmm. But I just said basically anything written by Barack Obama because hello, can we go back?
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, Michelle's book is coming out in November.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I think – I don't know yet for sure, but my hope is that early 2019 we'll cover her book on the podcast.
So good.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else that you want to add about books or reading or anything?
I just want you guys to know that I am going to try and make an effort to read more. Okay. But I want you guys to know that I make it a priority for my children.
That's good.
So that's important to all you readers that are judging me.
I told you, release the judgment.
At least I pass it down to my children.
No, no one's judging you. You're not the only person who I know who listens to this show who's like, I listen to this show because it makes me feel like I'm reading.
I know. I feel smarter after I listen to this show.
And you talked about some really good books. I don't know what you're talking about. Thanks. Anyways. All right. So Ashley and I are done for today. We will be back next week to discuss Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. If you haven't listened or if you haven't read it yet, read it. Listen to it on Audible if you want to use your audibletrial.com/thestacks, free 30-day trial, free audiobook download. I will link to all of Ashley's social media and also where you can get her candles on shopanstyle.com.
Yes.
And we will see you all in the stacks. That's it for today's episode of The Stacks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Ashley North for being our guest. Ashley will be back next week to discuss Shonda Rhimes' book, Year of Yes. Thank you again to our sponsors, Hydrate Spark and Audible. You can get your 10% off your Hydrate Spark smart water bottle by going to hydratespark.com and using the code TRACY10. That's valid through July 31st, 2018. Also, don't forget to go to audibletrial.com/thestacks to get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook download. Please go ahead and rate and review this show wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our graphic designer is Robin McCray. Our theme music comes from Tagirigis, and this show was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas.